بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، All praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this human being is the ni'mah of Islam. This ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give to only to those who He loves. You see, Allah Azza wa Jal gives wealth to those who Allah loves and those who Allah does not love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to those who Allah loves and those who Allah azza wa jalla doesn't love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives status to those who Allah loves and those who Allah doesn't love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives many things of this dunya to those who Allah loves and those who Allah doesn't love. But this ni'mah of Islam is only granted and given to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This ni'mah, that the unfortunate thing is that we really understand it and take care of it. This ni'mah, the ni'mah of Islam, is only granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who Allah loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. All those who believe, whoever turns away from Allah's religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them with those who Allah loves and they love Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace them with those who Allah loves and they love Allah azza wa jal. They strive in the path of Allah and they don't fear any of those who blame them. Ni'mah of Islam, a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. This ni'mah, this bounty of Allah, the great bounty of Islam, that it is the key of success in this dunya and the key of success in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this dunya to serve us and He created us to serve Him. People will look at this different and then they start serving the dunya. They start serving the dunya, so Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him slaves of this dunya and they lose the hereafter. But those who understand why they're here for, they will serve Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will make this dunya serve them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the paradise in the hereafter. It's an honor, it's a great thing in life to be the slave and the servant of Allah Almighty. For that we are created for, and for that we are living for, and for that we should be resurrected on, being the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. And being the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal requires many different things from us in many different ways, from many different people. While Allah Azza wa Jal requires from women sometimes is different than what Allah Azza wa Jal requires from men. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from the scholars is different than what Allah Azza wa Jal requires from general people. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from a Muslim leader is different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from the common folk. And my advice, my sister in Islam, is to remember and to be aware what Allah Azza wa Jalla requires from you as a woman, as a female believer. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from you as a mu'mina, as a muslima, as a abida, as a mu'mina, as a female believer, as a muslima, as a female muslim, and a abida, a female worshipper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, mentions in the Quran Kareem in many verses, in which Allah will say, al-muslimina wal-muslimat, wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, the male believers and the female believers, and the male Muslims and the female Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal could have said, al-muslimin wal-mu'minin, believers and Muslims, and under that category, females go under. But Allah specifies in mentioning the female Muslims to know, for those females to know and understand and be aware that they have a responsibility upon them and a special responsibility upon them. There's always that concept been arised many times. Are men and women equal in Islam? Or men and women are not equal in Islam? Well, no doubt, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made that very clear when He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O people, we had created you from males and females, and we had made you tribes, so you could know one another. Allah azza wa jal created us from males, men, and created females, women. And He created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those men and women go back to tribes. The reason is, so as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so you could know one another. This is the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal. We go back to tribes and families. You come from this family and that person comes from that family. And this person comes from that town and that person comes from that city. And this person comes from that state and that person comes from that country. Why? So we could recognize each other. We know each other and we recognize each other. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. But at the end what Allah said, yes, we created you from males. We created from you males. We created from you females. We made you different tribes. Arabs, non-Arabs, black, white. We made you from different states and countries. From the east or the west or the north or the south. But at the end, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most honored one, the one with the high status and respect with Allah, is the one that fears Allah most. Is the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. So there's no difference between a male and a female except with the taqwa. There's no difference between a black and white except with taqwa. There's no difference between an Arab and non-Arab except with taqwa. There's no difference between poor and rich except with taqwa. There's no difference between old and young except with taqwa. There's no difference between strong and weak except with taqwa. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made very clear. A man can be much better than many women. With what? Not because of his manhood, but because of his taqwa. And a woman can be much better and greater than many men, not because she's a woman, but because of her taqwa. Because of her taqwa, because we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of our close relationship with Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, there is no difference between men and women except with taqwa. In other words, that men and women are equal, but they could compete with one another when it comes to taqwa. Men can be better than many women, and women can be better than many men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created each one of them for a special task and a duty. Allah azza wa jalla created this woman for things that she and only she can do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this man for things that he and only he can do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided the tasks and jobs in what keeps this world continuing and what keeps descendants inheriting from one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for different tasks and created them for different jobs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for different tasks and created them for different jobs. Those tasks, if this woman perfects that task, then she becomes in a high status with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if that man perfects his task, then he could have a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, both have things in common, no doubt. Both have things in common, but they differ in other matters. And what we want to focus on, what we want to focus on, is what this woman differs from the man and what makes her close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, there are things in common. The common things are the taqwa, the ibadah, the salah, the siyam, the hajj, in many things like reading the Quran al-Kareem, seeking knowledge. She could share that with the man. But there are matters that this woman can beat the man with. And that matters, and those matters, more revolving around the household. More revolving around the household. And don't get me wrong, as I mentioned, there are things that this woman shares with that man. She shares with that man praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She shares with that man reading the Quran al-Kareem, making dhikr, participating in many of the da'wah activities. But where can she become so good and great in? One of the things that she can become great in is in her household, taking care of the household. My sisters in Islam, do not underestimate the household and what the household can graduate from. This household is a university, a school before it's a university, a preschool before it's a school, and a kindergarten before it's a preschool. This household is what graduates men, and this, from that household, great men came out of. Great men came out of. The woman, the Muslimah, the mu'mina, she can do a great da'wah. A great da'wah more greater than any da'wah that any man can do. And that da'wah is to take care of her household, to take care of her children, to take care of her house. I'm not saying that this responsibility does not lie down on the men, also lies down on the men. But because of the woman being more at home with the children and kids, she is more exposed to this da'wah than the man being outside the house working for many hours during the day and doing other community work in the evening. So the man is exposed more to what's in the outside of the house, less exposed to what's inside the house, and the woman is more exposed in what's inside the house and less exposed to what's outside the house. Let's look at Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, for example. Khadija, one of the greatest women, if not the greatest woman in Islam, radiallahu ta'ala anha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the best of women is Maryam, and the best of women is Khadija. The best of women is Maryam, and the best of women is Khadija. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks highly of Khadija, that once the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was mentioning Khadija in a good way. So Aisha got jealous from hearing that many times. So Aisha said, oh Muhammad, leave her. And he stopped mentioning her. Allah had replaced you with a better one. She's referring to herself. She is referring to herself. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, By Allah, he did not replace me with a better one. By Allah, she stood by me when everyone turned against me. She gave me when everyone would not give me anything. She was there for me when everyone was away from me. She is Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She lived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam 10 years. 10 years during the prophecy. She lived with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam 10 years during the prophecy. So she experienced 10 years of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we look and we read and we listen. What did Khadija do during those 10 years? What made this woman to be the greatest woman? Is it because she used to go out on her faith and do da'wah? Is it because she used to go out with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and do da'wah? Is it because she used to take on loads of work outside the household. 10 years, radiallahu ta'ala anha, within that 10 years she became the greatest woman in history and the greatest woman in Islam. What made her to become who she became? It's her contribution to the da'wah in her household. Her contribution to the da'wah in the household, taking care of the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and including taking care of the household, we are referring to many aspects in that household. We are referring to herself, and we are referring to her husband, and we are referring to her children. These are the three main aspects that that a woman takes care of her household. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha done a great job by taking care of her household. She took care of herself in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which she became a true taqiyya, in which she fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she became a true abida. She worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal. And she took care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as she stood by him, alayhi salatu wa salam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam will be outside the house, outside his home, calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, and reminding people about Allah, and calling people to Islam, and reminding people about Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go from one house to another, and go from one town to another, and from one person to another, calling them to Allah Azza wa Jal during the day and night. And Allah knows how much of the sacrifice alayhi salatu wasalam put. Who was taking care of the household at that time? Who was taking care of that house, protecting it? And who was taking care of that house, securing it? And who was taking care of the children of that house? And who was keeping the light of that house turned on? It was the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We've never heard that one day Khadija went out and called and made da'wah the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, or she was outside the house calling others or doing what the men usually do. But radiallahu ta'ala anha, she done a great da'wah in her household. She took care of herself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she took care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was there for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's outside facing the great wave of torture and facing the great wave of enmity. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back with a broken heart, and she was there for him, to stand by him, saying, "O Messenger of Allah, Allah will give you victory. O Messenger of Allah, stand firm. O Messenger of Allah, continue your great work. O Messenger of Allah, be firm and be strong, and we are with you." She was there for him. And that's why sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By Allah, Allah did not replace me with a better, Allah did not replace me, replace her, or replace me with a better one than her. She stood by me when everyone turned against me. She gave me when everyone would not give me anything, and she was there for me." This is Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she contributed greatly into this deen, and that's why they say Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is the greatest woman in Islam. The greatest woman in Islam. The greatest woman among the believers. She was the first woman and the first human being. Not only the first woman, but the first human being. Before anyone, before Ali and before Abu Bakr and before all the other companions, she was the first human being to pronounce the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. She was the first human being. This is a sign. This is a sign, a hint to show us that the da'wah work and the religion will only continue with great partners, men and women. With great partners, a man and a woman, with a male and a female. With great partners, a mu'min and a mu'mina, a Muslim and a Muslimah. She was the first human being to become a Muslim. And she was the first human being to stand firm for this deen, this religion, this beautiful religion, Islam, the one that reached everywhere, the one that reached the east and the west and the north and the south. This Islam was spread because of a man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great partner, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And a great partner, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she was there for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the duty of a Muslim woman, to be there for her husband, to be there for a husband, to be there encouraging a husband to contribute in which is best for this deen and which is best for this da'wah and which is best for the community. This is the duty of a Muslim, to be there for a husband, to encourage him, to be there for them. Look, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek advice from Khadija, and he is the messenger of Allah. He used to seek advice from his other wives, and he is the messenger of Allah. He is the one that gets revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to seek advice from his wives. And we know the great story. We know the great story when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam agreed to go back to Medina and come the upcoming year. Come back to Mecca perform Umrah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will order the companions to shave their hair and to slaughter their hadi, to slaughter their sacrifice so they could go back to Medina. But the companions were so upset and sad that they were promised to perform Umrah and they can't perform it at this moment. And they have to go back and come back the next year. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions to shave their hair and slaughter their sacrifice. And no one moved. Everyone just sat still, thinking, they all thought that Allah will change. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send down a revelation and Allah Azza wa Jalla will change his orders on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got so angry, he went back into his tent and Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was with him. And she said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, what's making you so upset and angry?" Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "How would a nation succeed when they disobey their Prophet?" So she told him, "Oh Messenger of Allah, why didn't you yourself go outside, shave your hair, slaughter your sacrifice, and maybe when the companions see the action, they will follow." So the Prophet ﷺ took the advice of Umm Salama and went out and shaved his hair and sacrificed and slaughtered his sacrifice. And then the rest of the companions saw that, so they all did what the Prophet ﷺ did. So because of an advice of Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, maybe this advice was away from the Prophet's mind. But she completed him, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that's how a Muslimah should be. That's how a Muslimah should be. She completes her husband as her husband completes her. She takes care of the duties of her husband as her husband takes care of her duties in a partnership. In a partnership, taking care of one another. So this is the duty of a Muslimah. This is the duty of a Muslimah. She is like that motivation that gives that husband. That husband goes out calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla, working for the da'wah or trying to earn his living. Earning the living is also a part of the deen. Trying to earn the living for the children or trying to seek the education. He comes back at home. She should be that motivation for him to continue doing and striving in life. And as the same thing, he should be her motivation to continue doing her work and striving in life. It's her responsibility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, to take care of herself. And the responsibilities upon her from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's also her duty. It's her duty, as it is also the duty of the husband to take care of the kids. Those kids that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted you as a great gift. Now, by Allah, if you had this whole world in one hand, you'll put your children in another hand. In other words, that your children are worth this whole world and what's in it. You would not sacrifice that child for anything given to you in this dunya. This is a gift of this child that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, any man that has three daughters and takes care of them, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give him paradise in return. So one companion said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, even two." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Even two." So this companion said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, even one." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Even one. Even one." And this applies on a woman too. If a mother or a father take care of the children, and take care of raising up those children in a pious and a God-fearing manner, then remember, these children will be your great asset in front of Allah in the hereafter. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that the good deeds of the son of Adam are cut after his death, except from three. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sadaqatun jariya, a continuous and rewarding generous donation, وَعِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ, a knowledge that this person left behind that people are benefiting from, وَوَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ. And a righteous son or daughter, a righteous child, a righteous son or daughter that I'm making dua for them. These children, my sisters in Islam, that you are more exposed to be with them at home and taking care of them. And may Allah reward you greatly for putting your time and effort into those kids. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your patience. And as I mentioned, how Allah azza wa jal creates the man for something that he's good at, but not good in what the woman can do. And Allah azza wa jal creates the woman in something that she's good at, but not as good at, not as good as what the man can do. And she is very good in taking care of the children, having that patience, in which the man does not have that patience, and having that passion of taking care of the children. Especially in a moment where the man maybe gets occupied and earning his living outside the house, or maybe doing other things outside the household. This woman, my sisters in Islam, this woman, she will earn her great hasanat by graduating scholars from her house, by graduating men from her house, by graduating God-fearing women from her house, by graduating du'at, by graduating preachers from her house, by graduating people who care about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal from her house. The woman plays that big role. And I see the woman playing a bigger role than the man when it comes to that. And she does a greater job than this man. And for that, Allah Azza wa Jal will let her hasanat to continue even after her death. In a hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal will bring a parent. Allah will bring a man. Allah will bring a woman. Allah Azza wa Jal bring a man and a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the paradise. And they see a great paradise. So they say to Allah, Ya Allah, we didn't do much in this dunya for us to earn this paradise. So Allah will say to them, you had a righteous kid. You had a righteous kid. You had a righteous man graduating from your house. Or you had a righteous woman graduating from your house. You had a righteous son. You had a righteous daughter. That made you earn what you earned. That made you earn what you earned. And for that, you've earned this great paradise. For that, you've earned this beautiful paradise. All this because of the righteous action that you taught your son. All this because of the righteous action that you taught your daughter. And because of that, we've granted you this. We've granted you this. This is the great thing, my sisters in Islam. A great investment in the da'wah. A great investment in the da'wah. Listen to the stories of the scholars, the great scholars in Islam. You hear about them. Every one of them had a great mother behind them. You hear about Imam Malik, and a great scholar Imam Malik, and what made Imam Malik, and what Imam Malik is, and we hear about the great, great events, and the great knowledge of Imam Malik. What made Imam Malik who Imam Malik became? His mother, it was his mother that encouraged him to go and seek knowledge. It was his mother that sent him to Rabi'at al-Ra'i. And she told him, I want you to go and learn his manners before you learn his knowledge. It was his mother that encouraged him to become a scholar. Look at Imam Shafi'i. And what do you know about Imam Shafi'i, that great scholar Imam Shafi'i? What made Imam Shafi'i who he became? It was his mother. It was the mother of Imam Shafi'i. The mother of Imam Shafi'i, that Imam Shafi'i grew up as an orphan. She took care of Imam Shafi'i and she sent him to the scholars to seek knowledge and learn knowledge until he became Imam Shafi'i. He was given the license and the approval to give fatwa by the age of 14. What made this scholar, what made this great Imam to become who he is? What made this great Imam to reach to where he reached to? It was the great woman behind him, his mother. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, same thing. Imam Abdul Qadir Jilani, same thing. And many, many, many scholars in Islam, you hear about them. And what made them start off? What made them start off their journey into the knowledge? It was their mother. It was their mother. And I guarantee you, their father could not even do what their mother done towards them, or what their mother taught them, or what their mother encouraged them, or what their mother motivated them. The mother, my sisters, you can be a great contribution to this da'wah. You can be a great contribution to this da'wah, much more than the scholars who are preaching in the mosque much more than the dua to are knocking doors, calling people to Allah Azza wa Jal, much more than other people who are doing a lot of da'wah outside the household. By Allah, you could do a lot of da'wah inside your household. You could do a lot of da'wah inside your household by taking care of your children, by motivating them, by putting that love of Allah in their hearts, by putting the love of Islam in their hearts, by putting the understanding of this religion in their minds, by putting the love of seeking knowledge in their hearts, by putting the fear of Allah in their hearts. Believe me, you'll do a greater job than 1,000 fathers. You'll do a greater job than 1,000 men. This is a specialty that Allah had given the woman. A way that Allah Azza wa Jal will make this woman earn her hasanat and increase her iman and increase her status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A way that you could increase your good deeds. A way that you could get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. A way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made an easy path for you to get to the paradise. Take care of those children that Allah Azza wa Jal had made you and your husband responsible for. But at the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal had given you the opportunity, more than you and husband, to make these children to be the best children in future. And that's why one of the poets, he says that the mother, she is a nation, she is a school, she is a nation and school that graduates great scholars and great students. Yes, the mother, she is a full school. The mother is a full school and a full university that graduates from her. Great men graduate from. Radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the mother of Anas bin Malik, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, she came with Anas, and Anas was only 7 or 8 years old. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she told him, O Messenger of Allah, I haven't got much to contribute for this deen. I'm a woman, I can't do what men can do. And at the same time, I'm a poor woman, I can't do what rich people can do. But I've got this child of mine. I give him to you for the sake of Allah, to be a servant that will serve all your needs during the day and night. To be a servant that will serve your needs during the day and night. Subhanallah, look at this thought. This is the true, this is the true iman, this is the true taqwa. She sacrificed her son. She taught him to love Allah and his messenger, and she put him under the service of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas bin Malik will serve the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam for a number of years. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam will love Anas as much as he loves his own children. And Anas will love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than what he probably loves his own father. And Anas says, by Allah, I served the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam for a number of years, for 10 years. And by Allah, I've never, ever smelt a better perfume or fragrance than the smell of the fragrance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I've never ever touched more smoother hand than the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I served him for 10 years. He's never ever told me to a thing that he told me to do that I didn't do. Why didn't you do it? Or to a thing that he told me not to do and I did it. Why did you do it? This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas ibn Malik, a great asset for his mother. A great asset for the mother of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa anha. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa anha. My sister in Islam, we all have a great contribution for this deen. We all have a great contribution for this deen. And what Allah will use this woman is different to what Allah will use this man for. And what Allah will use this man for is different to what Allah will use this woman for. And remember that Allah Azza wa Jal has also made and created a opened and a wide path for you to earn your hasanat and to earn your rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal the way He made it for men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made that path easy for you in what suits you, as He made that path easy for the man and what suits him. And together, men and women could complete one another. And together, men and women could continue for the best of the ummah, to serve the best interest of the Muslim ummah and the best interest of Islam. Together working on that cause. Together working on that mission. Together working to continue this. Ya akhawati in Islam. My sisters in Islam, our knowledge, our Islamic knowledge comes from this woman Aisha. The scholars say, by Allah, if it wasn't for Aisha, we would have lost so much knowledge that we're in need of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Aisha contribute into the knowledge of Islam. If it wasn't for her contribution, Allah knows better how much loss we would have had. She had so much knowledge. She was exposed to things from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no one else was exposed. And if it wasn't for her knowledge, we would not get there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this knowledge, even the knowledge of Islam, a great percentage was carried by the woman. Was carried by the woman, was carried by the mothers of the believers. For my sisters in Islam, we look into our responsibilities in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we try and perfect our responsibilities with Allah azza wa jal. We try and focus on our responsibilities. I have this responsibility in front of Allah and I could do a great job with this responsibility to the deen of Islam. I focus on it. I focus on this responsibility and I ask Allah to make me a better person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah says, whoever does a righteous deed from a male believer and a female believer. Whoever does a righteous deed from a male believer or a female believer will make them live a happy life. Will make them live a successful life. This happy life and successful life lies down on both the men and women working together for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the sake of this ummah. Working together for the sake of what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of upholding the religion of Islam. You can make a great contribution into Islam. You can make great du'at. You can make great scholars. You can make great sacrifices for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's all focus on our duties and responsibilities. Throughout this duty and responsibility, remember my sister in Islam, we must all need to be sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal, that I'm doing this for the sake of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, no one else. As the key of success in Islam is the sincerity and fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And remember Allah Azza wa Jal is recording everything on you. And remember, as Allah says in the Quran Kareem, all those who believe, fear Allah the way you should be feared and do not die unless in a state of Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase our iman. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase our taqwa. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the great understanding of this responsibility. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use us for this deen. And to use us to uphold for this deen. And to use our children for this deen. And to use our ancestors for this deen. May Allah reward you all for listening. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka. وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ